The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. How y'all doing today? Everybody doing good? All right. Good. So I'm going to start with a question today. What did you have for supper last night? DQ? That works. What else? Come on, what did you have for supper last night? Remember? Sausage? There you go. What about breakfast? What did you have for breakfast? Or did you have breakfast?
Had a donut? Huh? A what? Eggs, bacon. You had a big breakfast, huh? Well, I got a little snack for you here.
There you go. Boy, you should see the looks I'm getting up here. It's on a rock. Guess what?
That comes up in our gospel lesson today because Jesus is being tempted by the devil, okay? And one of the things that happens, the very first temptation is, he knows that Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, here's a rock. Turn it into a piece of bread. You got the power, right?" And he does that. He does temptations three times. He tempts Jesus. But there's a difference there between what the devil does and what Jesus does for us. Okay? The difference is every time that the devil said something, he always had one little word in there. It's a two-letter word. It says, if you are the Son of God, turn that into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, angels will catch you. If you worship me. That's the thing about the devil. He tends to put ifs on things. But Jesus didn't do that. He had a rough job. He was fasting and getting ready for his ministry. This is the beginning of that ministry that he starts with, that he does for us. It's his path to the cross. And he doesn't put any ifs on it. Come on in, have a seat. And he doesn't put any ifs on it. He says, "I'm going to do this." It gets tough. Matter of fact, on the garden, he even says, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." It was tough. He said, if this cup can pass from me." It was tough, but he never put an if on it. He always said, "Your will be done," because he knew he had to do it for us. And all he asked back in return was faith. If you notice, things have got a little darker around here, huh? Went from white pyramids to purple, dark purple. And the cross all of a sudden has shown up. That's what happens with Lent. Lent is a time of preparing. Lent is a time of thinking, about how much he has done for us, about our life. And sometimes, you know what, we talk about giving up stuff for Lent, but sometimes we forget while we're doing this thinking and preparing for this cross to also think about the many blessings that he's given us. There are people who don't have food. One of the many blessings we have is that we have food to eat and we have water to drink. We sometimes forget to add the blessings into the things we take away. But there is one thing that we do, and that is, this is a time of thinking, this is a time of preparing, and so consequently, it's not really a super celebrative time. And here's a word that we use. Would you help me hold it up? You grab that in? And I'm going to have one of you all grab that in. Take it, okay, and hold it up. The Alleluia. And it's always said at Easter, but guess what? During Lent, we're going to do something different with it. We're going to put it away like Jesus was buried in the tomb until Easter. Because right now we're supposed to be thinking about his path to the cross and his ministry that he started with his temptation to the devil. And then on Easter, I'm going to ask you to help me bring it back, like Jesus came back from the dead. And then we will parade it down the aisle on Easter Sunday with joy in our hearts because we've got somebody that doesn't put an if on saving us. Okay? Let's have a prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter this time of Lent, we are very thankful for all your blessings. Help those things that we give up for Lent, if we do, to remind us not so much of just giving something up, but also that it is giving up something for you so that we can focus on you and your wonderful gift that you give us with your life, death, and resurrection. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This last week we started our Lenten journey with Ash Wednesday. We heard the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Lent is a time to think about our mortality, to think about where we are headed and what we are doing. Lent is that journey moving towards the cross and the resurrection. But we do stop and think about where we are, what we're doing here in this life on earth. And one of the questions that does come up when we think about just our time here on this earth is something that does affect us, and that is death. Death surrounds us in many different ways. All of us have had somebody close to us in our life that has died, whether it's grandparents or parents or a spouse or maybe even a child, a good friend. And it affects our lives, and we know, too, we know our own mortality. I mean, we can see our hair starting to get a little bit more gray or some of it starting to come out. I think I'm battling which one's going to happen first, if I'm going to go totally gray or if I'm going to totally lose it all first. Our hearing doesn't work as good. Our eyesight's not quite as good. You might lose a tooth or two somewhere along the way. We know that we are aging, and we know that we are getting closer to death. But the question this morning that I have is, why is there death? Why is there even death? When God created the heavens and the earth, he created everything perfectly. And if you go back and you read that creation story, that first creation story, when God gets finished with one day, he looks back, or it says, "It is so," and he looks back at that day and he says, "It was good. It is good." The Lord saw that it was good. Each day, he goes back and it says, "The Lord saw that it was good." And on that last day, he created animals, and he looked back and he said, "It is good." But he didn't stop at that. On that last day as well then, too, he created human beings, and he said, "It is very good." And so today we get into that second story of creation, and we get into that story of what we know of as the fall. And so I have the question, why is there death in this world? And I've heard a lot of different explanations. I've heard a lot of different lines of why we have to die. Why do we have to die? One is that God is punishing that person. That person was an evil person. They were sinful. And so God brought death into the world to punish the people. Another reason, death just simply happens. It's a part of that circle of life thing that goes on. Another reason, I've heard people say, well, it was just his time to go. His name was plastered on that big calendar in the sky. Another reason, I've heard it said, or somebody mentioned, she was so good in life that God wanted her to be in heaven with him. Or similar to that then too, at the death of a child, God just simply wanted another angel in heaven. Now, some of these may sound pretty good, but they're not adequate. Others, there is absolutely no truth to them. Some of them are even dangerous. Some of them even kind of make me angry to hear those things being said because they are not true and they are misleading. So why do we have to die? Why do people die? The best explanation is the story that we read this morning, that story of Adam and Eve and the fall. When God created, he created everything perfectly. He saw that it was good. And if you think back and you look at the story, and there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no hunger, there is no pain, there is no thirst, there is no arguing, there are no wars. It's paradise. It's perfect. Mom and Dad aren't fighting over the thermostat. Whether it's too cold or too hot, everything is perfect. The world is perfect. You knew that you were going to have another meal. You knew that you had a place to sleep. You knew that you were safe. You knew that somebody wasn't attacking you. You knew that you weren't going to get sick. You knew that you weren't going to die because there was no death in the world. God did not create the death. It wasn't there. So how did death get into this world? It's right there in the story. The serpent comes up to Eve and says, did God say you can eat anything? And Eve says, yes, anything but that one tree, the fruit off that one tree. And the serpent says, well, do you know why he doesn't want you to eat that fruit? Because if you eat that fruit, then you will be like God. That was too much. It was too much for Eve. It was too much for Adam. And that is why there is death in the world, because God told them that if you eat of that tree, you will die. Death came into the world through that. But think about what they were looking at. What was the draw to eat that tree? Eat from that tree. Eat the fruit off of there. It was so that they could be like God. Now, this morning we started off our worship. Part of our liturgy was going through the Ten Commandments. And as you go through the Ten Commandments, they all point back to this very same thing. They all point back to that very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And that temptation at creation, or in the Garden of Eden, was to be like God. So everything, anything, any commandment that we do break, we are breaking that first commandment. We're going back to that original sin. We're going back to that sin that brought death into this world. Every time we break a single commandment, we are bringing death into this world. Because we want to be like God. Think about it. If you're tempted to steal something, well, you're saying, it's okay for me to grab it because that's more important than listening to God. I'm not going to go to worship. I've got too much stuff to do this Sunday. I'm not going to stop and take time to worship God today. Well, then your own time, your own passions, your own pleasures, your own stuff that you got to do is set before God. You have a different God. You have broken that first commandment. you have brought death into this world. That is where death came from. It's not that God created death, or he's not sending it there to punish us, but we brought it on ourselves. We have brought it upon ourselves. And that's where death comes from. However, there's still hope. There is hope for us. As we look at this gospel lesson that we read this morning, Jesus too has been tempted. He's out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan is going to tempt him where he's most vulnerable. Just like Satan tempted Adam and Eve, where they are most vulnerable, that you will be like God. Satan is tempting Jesus where he is most vulnerable. I don't know about you, but I've never gone 40 days or 40 nights without eating something. And I can't imagine doing that. I can imagine, and I can't even imagine how famished Jesus would be. And so Satan tempts him first with food. Turn that stone into a loaf of bread. Have something good to eat. Jesus doesn't fall for it. He remains faithful to God. Or the second temptation, Jesus takes him up to a very high place on top of the pinnacle of the temple and says, go ahead and jump. You know that God the Father is going to save you. He's going to send a legion of angels to catch you. You're not going to be hurt. Again, Jesus does not fall to the temptation. Or the third time, again, Satan takes him to a high place and shows him all the kingdoms of the world with all the glory. All you have to do is worship me. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. I'll stay out of your hair. Jesus does not fall to that temptation. We have brought death into this world. And if we left it there, we would just simply die. That would be it. We'd live however long we lived here on this earth, and we would die. But God does not wish death. God wishes life. I mean, that's why he created creation anyway. He wanted life. He brought life into this world. He brought life into us. God wants life. And so he gives us another chance. And St. Paul puts it this way in our reading from Romans. He says, for as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. God sent his Son into the world to be the one to bring us back into righteousness, to bring us back into life. God brought life into this world. We brought death into this world. But God wants to see life. And God is stronger than death. We're here in this Lenten journey. We are moving towards that cross where Jesus dies. But Jesus is stronger than death. And then we'll be celebrating that Easter event. That Easter event that is a promise to us that even though we die here on this earth, we will be raised to new life with him. God wants life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.